Recorded Books presents an unabridged recording of Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Dog Days, by Jeff Kinney, narrated by Ramon de Ocampo.
June. Friday. For me, summer vacation is basically a 3-month guilt trip. Just because the weather's nice, everyone expects you to be outside all day frolicking or whatever. And if you don't spend every second outdoors, people think there's something wrong with you. But the truth is, I've always been more of an indoor person. The way I like to spend my summer vacation is in front of the TV, playing video games with the curtains closed and the lights turned off. Unfortunately, Mom's idea of the perfect summer vacation is different from mine. Mom says it's not natural for a kid to stay indoors when it's sunny out. I tell her that I'm just trying to protect my skin so I don't look all wrinkly when I'm old like her. But she doesn't want to hear it. Mom keeps trying to get me to do something outside, like go to the pool. But I spent the first part of the summer at my friend Rowley's pool, and that didn't work out so good. Rowley's family belongs to a country club, and when school let out for the summer, we were going there every single day, sunning ourselves in the lounge chairs with our cool sunglasses on, sipping our fruit smoothies. Then we made the mistake of inviting this girl named Trista, who just moved into our neighborhood. I thought it would be really nice of us to share our country club lifestyle with her, but 5 seconds after we got to the pool, she met some lifeguard and forgot all about the guys who invited her there. The lesson I learn is that some people won't think twice about using you, especially when there's a country club involved. Me and Rowley were better off without a girl hanging around anyway. We're both bachelors at the moment, and during the summer, it's better to be unattached. I mean, just because the hot tub is for adults only doesn't mean we can't lean over the fence. Hello, ladies. A few days ago, I noticed the quality of service at the country club was starting to go down a little. Like, sometimes the temperature in the sauna was a few degrees too hot. And one time, the poolside waiter forgot to put one of those little umbrellas in my fruit smoothie. I reported all my complaints to Rowley's dad, but for some reason, Mr. Jefferson never passed them on to the clubhouse manager. Which is kind of weird. If it was me who was paying for a country club membership, I'd want to make sure I was getting my money's worth. Anyway, a little while later, Rowley told me he wasn't allowed to invite me to his pool anymore, which is fine with me. I'm much happier inside my air-conditioned house, where I don't have to check my soda can for bees every time I go to take a sip. Saturday. Like I said, Mom keeps trying to get me to go to the pool with her and my little brother Manny. But the thing is, my family belongs to the town pool, not the country club. And once you've tasted the country club life, it's hard to go back to being an ordinary Joe at the town pool. Standing in line at the snack bar behind weird lady with glasses, her crying baby, nerdy kid, and hairy guy. Besides, last year I swore to myself that I would never go back to that place again. At the town pool, you have to go through the locker room before you can go swimming, and that means walking through the shower area, where grown men are soaping down right out in the open. The first time I walked through the men's locker room at the town pool was one of the most traumatic experiences of my life. I'm probably lucky I didn't go blind. Seriously, I don't see why Mom and Dad bother to try and protect me from horror movies and stuff like that if they're going to expose me to something about 1,000 times worse. I really wish Mom would stop asking me to go to the town pool, because every time she does, it puts images in my mind that I've been trying hard to forget. Sunday. Well, now I'm definitely staying indoors for the rest of the summer. Mom had a house meeting last night and said money is tight this year and we can't afford to go to the beach, which means no family vacation. That really stinks. I was actually looking forward to going to the beach this summer. Not because I like the ocean and the sand and all of that, because I don't. I realized a long time ago that all the world's fish and turtles and whales go to the bathroom right there in the ocean. and I seem to be the only person who's bothered by this. My brother Roderick likes to tease me because he thinks I'm afraid of the waves. Okay, so I once ran screaming like a baby when a little wave splished against my sandcastle. But I'm telling you, that's not it at all. Anyway, I was looking forward to going to the beach because I'm finally tall enough to go on the Cranium Shaker, which is this really awesome ride that's on the boardwalk. Roderick's been on the Cranium Shaker at least 100 times, and he says you can't call yourself a man until you ride it. Mom said maybe if we save our pennies, we can go back to the beach next year. Then she said we'd still do a lot of fun stuff as a family, and one day we'll look back on this as the best summer ever. Well, now I only have 2 things to look forward to this summer. One is my birthday, and the other is when the last Little Cutie comic runs in the paper. I don't know if I ever mentioned this before, but Little Cutie is the worst comic ever. To give you an idea of what I'm talking about, here's what ran in the paper today. Little Cutie pointing out the window and saying, "Daddy, is rain just God sweating?" But here's the thing. Even though I hate Little Cutie, I can't stop myself from reading it. And Dad can't either. I guess we just like seeing how bad it is. Little Cutie has been around for at least 30 years, and it's written by this guy named Bob Post. I've heard Little Cutie is based on Bob's son when he was a little kid. And like, if his son said, "If I eat this green bean, will its mommy and daddy be sad?" Bob Post would think, "Ka-ching!" But I guess now that the real Little Cutie is all grown up, his dad's having trouble coming up with new material. A couple of weeks ago, the newspaper announced that Bob Post is retiring, and the final Little Cutie is going to be printed in August. Ever since then, me and Dad have been counting down the days until the last comic runs. When the last Little Cutie comes out, me and Dad will have to throw a party, because something like that deserves a serious celebration. Monday. Even though me and Dad see eye to eye on Little Cutie, there are still a lot of things we butt heads over. The big issue between us right now is my sleep schedule. During the summer, I like to stay up all night watching TV or playing video games, and then sleep through the morning. But Dad gets kind of crabby if I'm still in bed when he gets home from work. Lately, Dad's been calling me at noon to make sure I'm not still asleep. So I keep a phone by my bed and use my best wide-awake voice when he calls. I think Dad's jealous because he has to go to work while the rest of us get to kick back and take it easy every day. But if he's going to be all grumpy about it, he should just become a teacher, or a snowplow driver, or have one of those jobs where you get to take summers off. Mom's not really helping improve Dad's mood either. She calls him at work about 5 times a day, with updates on everything that's going on around the house. Stuff like what Manny did in the potty. Sheesh. Tuesday. Dad got Mom a new camera for Mother's Day, and lately she's been taking lots of pictures. I think it's because she feels guilty about not keeping up on the family photo albums. When my older brother Roderick was a baby, Mom was totally on top of things. There's pictures of Roderick's first time trying peas, Roderick's second time trying peas, and Roderick's first steps, which led to Roderick's first time falling on his face. That's my favorite photo. Once I came along, I guess Mom got busy. So from that point on, there are a lot of gaps in our official family history. My pictures go like this. Welcoming Gregory to the world. Taking Gregory home from the hospital. Gregory's 6th birthday party. And Gregory's 1st day of middle school. Lots of gaps. I've learned that photo albums aren't an accurate record of what happened in your life anyway. Last year, when we were at the beach, Mom bought a bunch of fancy seashells at a gift shop, and later on, I saw her bury them in the sand for Manny to discover. And then she took a picture and said, "Look at what you found, Manny." Well, I wish I didn't see that, because it made me reevaluate my whole childhood, And all the photos of those fancy seashells I used to find. Today, Mom said I was looking shaggy, so she told me she was taking me to get a haircut. But I never would have agreed to get my haircut if I knew that Mom was taking me to Bombshells Beauty Salon, which is where Mom and Grandma get their haircut. I have to say, though, the whole beauty salon experience wasn't that bad. First of all, they have TVs all over the place, so you can watch a show while you're waiting to get your haircut. Second, they have lots of tabloids, those newspapers you see in the checkout lines at grocery stores. Mom says tabloids are full of lies, but I think there's some really important stuff in those things. Grandma is always buying tabloids, even though Mom doesn't approve. A few weeks ago, Grandma wasn't answering her phone, so Mom got worried and drove over to Grandma's to see if she was okay. Grandma was fine, but she wasn't picking up her phone because of something she read. Something like, cordless phones erase the memory of the elderly. But when Mom asked Grandma where she got her information, Grandma said, the New York Times? Grandma's dog Henry died recently, and ever since then, Grandma has had a lot of time on her hands. So Mom's dealing with stuff like the cordless phone thing a lot these days. Whenever Mom finds any tabloids at Grandma's house, she takes them home and throws them in the garbage. Last week, I fished one out of the trash and read it in my bedroom. I'm glad I did. I found out that North America will be underwater within 6 months, so that kind of takes the pressure off me to do well in school. I had a long wait at the beauty salon, but I didn't really mind. I got to read my horoscope and look at pictures of movie stars without their makeup, so I was definitely entertained. When I got my hair cut, I found out the best thing about the beauty salon, which is the gossip. The ladies who work there know the dirt on just about everyone in town. Unfortunately, Mom came to pick me up right in the middle of a story about Mr. Peppers and his new wife, who's 20 years younger than him. Hopefully, my hair will grow out fast, so I can come back and hear the rest of the story. Friday. I think Mom's starting to regret taking me to get my hair cut the other day. The ladies at Bombshells introduced me to soap operas, and now I'm totally hooked. Yesterday, I was in the middle of my show.
But Marisa, the man on the soap said, I love you.
Girlfriend, I said out loud, you can do so much better than him. And Mom told me I had to turn off the TV and find something else to do. I could tell there was no use arguing with her, so I called Rowley and invited him over. When Rowley got to my house, we went straight to Roderick's room in the basement. Roderick is off playing with his band, Loaded Diaper, and whenever he's away, I like to go through his stuff and see if I can find anything interesting. The best thing I found in Roderick's junk drawer this time around was one of those little souvenir picture keychains you get at the beach that say Summer Memories. If you look into it, you see a picture of Roderick with some girl. Wow! I don't know how Roderick got that picture, because I've been with him on every single family vacation, and if I saw him with that girl, I definitely would have remembered her. I showed the picture to Rowley, but I had to hold the keychain because he was getting all grabby. We dug around some more, and then we found a horror movie at the bottom of Roderick's drawer. I couldn't believe our luck. Neither one of us had actually seen a horror movie before, so this was a really big find. It was called Hello, You're Dead. I asked Mom if Rowley could spend the night, and she said yes. I made sure I asked Mom when Dad was out of the room, because Dad doesn't like it when I have sleepovers on a work night. Last summer, Rowley spent the night at my house, and we slept in the basement. I made sure Rowley took the bed that was closest to the furnace room, because that room really freaks me out. I figured if anything came out of there in the middle of the night, it would grab Rowley first, and I'd have a 5-second head start to escape. At about 1 in the morning, we heard something in the furnace room that scared the living daylights out of us. It sounded like a little ghost girl or something, and it said,
I'm hiding. Can you find me?
Me and Rowley practically trampled each other to death trying to get up the basement stairs. We burst into Mom and Dad's room, and I told them our house was haunted and we had to move immediately. Dad didn't seem convinced, and he went down to the basement and walked right into the furnace room. Me and Rowley stayed about 10 feet back. I was pretty sure Dad wasn't going to get out of there alive. I heard some rustling and a few bumps, and I was ready to make a run for it. But a few seconds later, he came back out with one of Manny's toys, a doll named Hide and Seek Harry that said things like, "Peek-a-boo." Last night, me and Rowley waited for Mom and Dad to go to bed. And then we watched our movie. Technically, I was the only one who watched it, because Rowley had his eyes and ears covered the whole entire time. The movie was about this muddy hand that goes around the country killing people. And the last person who sees the hand is always the next victim. The special effects were really cheesy, and I wasn't even scared until the very end. That's when the twist came. After the muddy hand strangled its last victim, it came crawling straight at the screen, and then the screen went black. At first, I was a little confused, but then I realized it meant the next victim was gonna be me. I turned the TV off, and then I described the whole movie to Rowley from beginning to end. Well, I must have done a pretty good job telling the story, because Rowley got even more freaked out than I was. I knew we couldn't go to Mom and Dad this time, because they'd ground me if they found out we watched a horror movie. But we didn't feel safe in the basement, so we spent the rest of the night in the upstairs bathroom with the lights on, shivering in the tub. I just wish we had managed to stay awake the whole night, because when Dad found us in the morning, it wasn't a pretty scene. I was asleep in the tub, and Rowley was asleep on the toilet. Dad wanted to know what was going on, and I had to fess up. Dad told Mom, so now I'm just waiting to hear how long I'm going to be grounded for. But to be honest with you, I'm a lot more worried about this muddy hand than any punishment Mom can dream up. I thought about it, though, and I realized there's only so much ground a muddy hand can cover in a day. So hopefully that means I have a little while longer to live. Tuesday. Yesterday, Mom lectured me about how boys my age watch too many violent movies and play too many video games, and that we don't know what real entertainment is. I just stayed quiet because I wasn't sure exactly where she was going with all this. Then Mom said that she was going to start a reading club for the boys in the neighborhood so she could teach us about all the great literature we were missing out on. I begged Mom to just give me a regular punishment instead, but she wouldn't budge. So today was the first meeting of the Reading is Fun Club. I felt kind of bad for all the boys whose moms made them come. I was just glad Mom didn't invite Fragley, this weird kid who lives up the street, because he's been acting stranger than usual lately, going on about his, hygiene issues. I'm starting to think maybe Fragley's a little dangerous, but luckily, he doesn't really leave his front yard during the summer. I think his parents must have an electrical fence or something. Anyway, Mom told everyone to bring their favorite book to today's meeting so we could pick one and discuss it. All the guys laid their books on the table, and everyone seemed pretty happy with the selection. Except Mom. We had Sudoku Insanity, Ultimate Video Game Cheats, Volume 8, Green Wasp, a major motion picture, and Extreme Pop-Up, Sharks. Mom said the books we brought weren't real literature, and that we were going to have to start with the classics. Then she brought out a bunch of books that she must have had since she was a kid. Little Women, The Yearling, Old Yeller, and Anne of Green Gables. These are the exact same types of books our teachers are always pushing us to read at school. They have a program where if you read a classic in your free time, they reward you with a sticker of a hamburger or something like that. I don't know who they think they're fooling. You can get a sheet of 100 stickers down at the arts and crafts store for 50 cents. I'm not really sure what makes a book a classic to begin with, but I think it has to be at least 50 years old, and some person or animal has to die at the end. Mom said if we didn't like the books she picked out, we could go on a field trip to the library and find something we all agreed on. But that won't work for me. See, when I was 8 years old, I borrowed a book from the library, and then I forgot all about it. I found the book a few years later behind my desk, and I figured I must have owed about $2,000 in late fees on that thing. So I buried the book in a box of old comics in my closet, and that's where it is to this day. I haven't been back to the library since then, but I know if I ever do show up, they'll be waiting for me. I'll bet I get arrested for failing to return How to Make Sock Puppets. In fact, I get nervous if I even see a librarian anywhere in town. I asked Mom if we could get a second chance to pick out a book on our own, and she said we could. We're supposed to meet again tomorrow and bring our new selections with us. Wednesday. Well, the membership of the Reading is Fun Club took a big hit overnight. Most of the guys who came yesterday bailed out, and now there's only two of us. Me and Rowley. Rowley brought two books along with him. How to Find Garden Fairies and Me and My Mommy, Silly Playgroup Activities. The book I picked was the 9th volume in the Magic and Monsters Dark Realm series, Shadow Doom. I figured Mom would like it because it's pretty long and there aren't any pictures. But Mom didn't like my book. She said she didn't approve of the illustration on the cover because she didn't like the way it portrayed women. I've read Shadow Doom, and from what I can remember, there aren't even any women in the story. In fact, I kind of wonder if the person who designed the cover even read the book. Anyway, Mom said that she was going to use her veto power as the Reading is Fun Club's founder and choose the book for us. So she chose this book called Charlotte's Web, which looks like one of those classics I was talking about before. Just from looking at the cover, I guarantee either the girl or the pig doesn't make it to the end of the book. Friday. Well, the Reading is Fun Club is down to one member, and that's me. Yesterday, Rowley went golfing or something with his dad, so he kind of hung me out to dry. I didn't do my reading assignment, and I was really counting on him to cover for me at the meeting. It's not really my fault that I couldn't finish my reading assignment, though. Mom told me I had to read in my bedroom for 20 minutes yesterday, but the truth is, I just have trouble concentrating for long periods of time. After Mom caught me horsing around, she banned me from watching TV until I read the book. So last night, I had to wait until she went to bed before I could get my entertainment fix. I kept thinking about that movie with the muddy hand, though. I was afraid that if I was watching TV all by myself late at night, the muddy hand might crawl out from under the couch and grab my foot or something. The way I solved the problem was by making a trail of clothes and other stuff all the way from my bedroom down to the family room. That way, I was able to make it downstairs and back without ever touching the ground. This morning, Dad tripped over a dictionary I left at the top of the stairs, so now he's mad at me. But I'll take Dad being angry over the alternative any day of the week. My new fear is that the hand is going to crawl up on my bed and get me in my sleep. So lately, I've been covering my whole body with a blanket and leaving a hole so I can breathe. But that strategy has its own risks. Roderick got into my room today, and I had to spend the morning trying to wash the taste of a dirty sock out of my mouth. Sunday. Today was my deadline for finishing the first 3 chapters of Charlotte's Web. When Mom found out I wasn't done yet, she said we were going to sit down at the kitchen table until I was finished. About a half hour later, there was a knock at the front door, and it was Rowley. I thought maybe he was coming back to the Reading is Fun Club, but when I saw that his dad was with him, I knew something was up. Mr. Jefferson had an official-looking piece of paper with the Country Club logo on it. He said it was a bill for all the fruit smoothies me and Rowley ordered at the clubhouse, and the grand total was $83. All those times me and Rowley ordered drinks at the clubhouse, We just wrote down Mr. Jefferson's account number on the tab. Nobody told us someone actually had to pay for all that. I still didn't really understand what Mr. Jefferson was doing at my house. I think he's an architect or something, so if he needs $83, he can just design an extra building. He talked to Mom, though, and they both agreed that me and Rowley needed to pay off the tab. I told Mom me and Rowley are just kids, and it's not like we have salaries or careers or whatever. But Mom said we were just going to have to be creative. Then she said we would have to suspend the Reading is Fun Club's meetings until we paid what we owed. To be honest with you, I'm kind of relieved, because at this point, anything that doesn't involve reading sounds pretty good to me. Tuesday. Me and Rowley racked our brains all day yesterday trying to figure out how to pay off that $83. Rowley said maybe I should just go to the ATM and withdraw some money to pay off his dad. The reason Rowley said that is because he thinks I'm rich. A couple of years ago during the holidays, Rowley came over and we had just run out of toilet paper at my house. My family was using these holiday cocktail napkins as a substitute until Dad got to the store again. They said, Merry Christmas. Rowley thought the holiday napkins were some kind of really fancy toilet paper, and he asked me if my family was rich. I wasn't going to pass up the opportunity to impress him, so I said, Yep, we sure are. Anyway, I am not rich, and that's the problem. I tried to figure out a way a kid my age could get his hands on some cash. And then it hit me. We could start a lawn care service. I'm not talking about some average, run-of-the-mill lawn care service either. I'm talking about a company that takes lawn care to the next level. We decided to name our company the VIP Lawn Service. We called up the Yellow Pages people and told them we wanted to place an ad in their book. And not just one of those tiny little text ads, but a really big one with full color that takes up two whole pages. But get this, the Yellow Pages people told us it was going to cost us a few $1,000 to put our ad in their book. I told them that didn't make a lot of sense to me, because how's someone supposed to pay for an ad if they haven't earned any money yet? Me and Rowley realized we were going to have to do this a different way and make our own ads. I figured we could just make flyers and put them in every mailbox in our neighborhood. All we needed was some clip art to get us started. So we went down to the corner store and bought one of those cards women get each other on their birthdays. It had a picture of two hunky construction workers on it, and it said, Hope your birthday is hot, hot, hot. Then we scanned it into Rowley's computer and pasted pictures of our heads onto the bodies from the card. After that, we got some clip art of lawn tools and put it all together. Then we printed it out, and I have to say, it looked great. VIP Lawn Service. Pamper yourself and your lawn with our award-winning, world-class service. Call 555-2941. I did some math, and I figured it would cost us at least a couple $100 in color ink cartridges and paper to make enough flyers for the whole neighborhood. So we asked Rowley's dad if he'd go out to the store and get us all the stuff we needed. Mr. Jefferson didn't go for it. In fact, he told us we couldn't use his computer or print out any more copies of our flyer. I was a little surprised by that, because if Mr. Jefferson wanted us to pay him back, he sure wasn't making it easy. But all we could really do was take our one flyer and get out of his office. Then, me and Rowley went around from house to house showing everyone our flyer and telling them about the VIP lawn service. After we hit a few houses, we realized it would be a lot easier to just ask the next person we spoke with to pass the flyer along so me and Rowley wouldn't have to do all that walking. Now the only thing we have to do is sit back and wait for the phone calls to start rolling in. Thursday. Me and Rowley waited around all day yesterday, but we didn't get any calls. I was starting to wonder if we should try to find a card with more muscular guys for our next flyer. Then, at about 11 o'clock this morning, we got a call from Mrs. Canfield, who lives on Grandma Street. She said her lawn needed mowing, but she wanted to check our references before she hired us. I used to do lawn work for Grandma, so I called her up and asked if she could call Mrs. Canfield and told her what a good worker I am. Well, I must have caught Grandma on a bad day, because she really lit into me. She said I left piles of leaves on her lawn last fall, and now there were patches of dead grass all over her yard. Then she asked me when I was going to come over and finish the job. That was not really the kind of response I was looking for. I told Grandma we were only taking paying jobs at the moment, but maybe we could get back to her later on in the summer. Then I called Mrs. Canfield and did my best imitation of Grandma. I guess I'm lucky my voice hasn't changed yet. I told her, "The VIP lawn service does exceptional work and catered to my every lawn need." Believe it or not, Mrs. Canfield bought it. She thanked Grandma for the reference and hung up. Then she called back a few minutes later, and I answered in my regular voice. Mrs. Canfield said she'd hire us and that we should come by her house later today to get started. But it's kind of far from my house to Mrs. Canfield's, so I asked her if she could come get us. She didn't seem real happy that we didn't have our own transportation, but she said she'd be willing to pick us up if we could be ready at noon. Mrs. Canfield came to my house at 12 o'clock in her son's pickup truck, and she asked us where our lawnmower and all our equipment was. I said we didn't actually have any equipment, but that my grandma keeps her side door unlocked, and I might be able to sneak in and borrow her mower for a few hours. I guess Mrs. Canfield must have been pretty desperate to get her lawn mowed, because she went along with my plan. Luckily, Grandma wasn't home, so it was easy to get the mower out of her house. We rolled it over to Mrs. Canfield's yard, and then we were ready to get to work. That's when me and Rowley realized neither one of us had ever actually operated a lawnmower before. So the two of us poked around for a while and tried to figure out how to get the thing started. Unfortunately, when we tilted the mower on its side, all the gasoline spilled out onto the grass, and we had to go back over to Grandma's to get a refill. I picked up the owner's manual for the mower while we were at it. I tried to read it, but the instructions were written in Spanish. I got the feeling from the bits and pieces I could understand that operating a lawnmower was a lot more dangerous than I originally thought. Around the Spanish instructions, there was a picture of a skull and crossbones, a guy with his leg cut off, and even a guy getting electrocuted. I told Rowley he could have the first crack at the lawn mowing, and that I would go sit in the shade and start working on our business plan. Rowley didn't like that idea at all. He said this was a partnership, and that everything had to be 50-50. I was pretty surprised by this, because I'm the one who came up with the idea for the lawn service in the first place, so I was more like the owner than a partner. I told Rowley we needed someone to do the grunt work, and someone to handle the money, so it didn't get all sweaty. Believe it or not, that was enough to make Rowley walk right off the job. I just want to say for the record that if Rowley ever needs me for a job reference in the future, I'm going to have to give him a lousy review. The truth is, I don't really need Rowley anyway. If this lawn service business grows the way I think it will, I'm going to have about 100 Rowleys working for me. In the meantime, I needed to get Mrs. Canfield's lawn mowed. I looked through the manual for a little while longer, and then figured out that I needed to pull on this handle attached to a cord, so I tried that. The mower started up right away, and I was off and running. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. The lawnmower was self-propelled, so all I needed to do was walk behind it and steer every once in a while. Then, I started to notice that there were piles of dog poop everywhere, and steering around them was not an easy thing to do with a self-propelled mower. The VIP lawn service has a very strict policy when it comes to dog poop, which is that we won't go anywhere near it. So from that point on, whenever I saw anything that looked suspicious, I would mow a 10-foot circle around it just to be safe. The job actually went a lot faster after that, because I had a lot less lawn to cover. After I was done, I went to the front door to collect my money. The final bill was $30, which was $20 for the lawn, plus $10 for the time me and Rowley spent designing that flyer. But Mrs. Canfield wouldn't pay. She said our service was lousy, and that we hardly mowed any of her lawn. I told her about the dog poop issue, but she still wouldn't cough up what she owed me. And to make matters worse, she wouldn't even give me a ride home. You know, I figured someone might try to stiff us this summer, but I never thought it would be our very first customer. I had to walk home, and by the time I got to my house, I was really mad. I told Dad the whole story about my lawn mowing experience and how Mrs. Canfield wouldn't pay me. Dad drove right over to Mrs. Canfield's house, and I went with him. I thought he was going to chew her out for taking advantage of his son, and I wanted to be there to see it firsthand. But Dad just got Grandma's mower and cut the rest of Mrs. Canfield's grass. When he was done, he didn't even ask her for any money. The trip wasn't a total waste of time, though. When Dad wrapped things up, I planted a sign in Mrs. Canfield's front yard. It said, "Another great job by VIP Lawn Service, 555-2941. I figured if I wasn't going to get paid, I might as well get some free advertising for all my trouble. Saturday. The VIP Lawn Service has not really panned out the way I thought it would. I haven't had any work since that first job, and I'm starting to think maybe Mrs. Canfield has been bad-mouthing me to her neighbors. I thought about just giving up and closing our business, but then I realized that with a few tweaks to the flyer, we could start things back up again in the winter. VIP snow removal. You've tried the rest, now go with the best. The problem is, I need money now. I called up Rowley to start brainstorming new ideas, but his mom said he was at the movies with his dad. I was a little annoyed because he never bothered to ask me if he could take the day off. Mom's not letting me do anything fun until this fruit smoothie bill is paid off, so that meant it was up to me to figure out how to earn the cash. I'll tell you who has a lot of money, and that's Manny. I mean, that kid is rich. A few weeks ago, Mom and Dad told Manny they'd give him a quarter for every time he uses the potty without being asked, so now he carries around a gallon of water with him at all times. Manny keeps all his money in a big jar on his dresser. He's got to have at least $150 in that thing. I've thought about asking Manny to lend me the money, but I just can't bring myself to do that. I'm pretty sure Manny charges interest on his loans anyway. I'm trying to figure out a way to earn money without doing any actual work. But when I told Mom what I was thinking, she said I'm just lazy. Okay, so maybe I am lazy, but it's not really my fault. I've been lazy ever since I was a little kid, and if someone had caught it early on, maybe I wouldn't be the way I am now. Okay, so maybe I am lazy, but it's not really my fault. I've been lazy ever since I was a little kid, and if someone had caught it early on, maybe I wouldn't be the way I am now. I remember in preschool when playtime was over, the teacher would tell everyone to put away their toys, and we would all sing the cleanup song while we did it. Well, I sang the song with everyone else, but I didn't do any of the actual cleaning. So if you want to find somebody to blame for the way I am, I guess you'd have to start with a public education system. Sunday. Mom came into my room this morning and woke me up for church. I was glad to go because I knew I was going to have to turn to a higher power to get this fruit smoothie bill paid off. Whenever Grandma needs anything, she just prays, and she gets it right away. I think she has a direct pipeline to God or something. She prays, "Dear Lord, please let me find my Dollar Savers coupon book." And she does. For some reason, I don't have that same kind of pull. But that doesn't mean I'm going to quit trying. Last night before bed, I gave it my best shot. "Dear Lord, please let Mr. Jefferson get hit on the head so he forgets about the money I owe him. And please let me get past the third level of Twisted Wizard without having to use any of my bonus health packs. Amen. And thank you in advance." Today's sermon was called Jesus in Disguise, and it was about how you should treat everyone you meet with kindness because you never know which person is really Jesus pretending to be someone else. I guess that's supposed to make you want to be a better person, but all it does is make me paranoid because I know I'm just going to end up guessing wrong and being nice to a lot of guys who aren't Jesus. They passed the donation basket around like they do every week, and all I could think was how I needed that money a lot more than whoever it was going to. But Mom must have seen the look in my eye, because she passed the basket to the row behind us before I could take what I needed. Monday. My birthday's coming up this weekend, and it can't get here quick enough for me. This year, I'm going to have a family party. I'm still really burned up with Rowley for bailing out on our lawn care business, so I don't want him thinking he can come over and eat my birthday cake. Plus, I've learned my lesson about friend parties. When you have a friend party, all your guests think they have the right to play with your presents. And every time I have a friend party, Mom invites her friends' kids, so I end up with a bunch of people at my party I barely even know. And those kids don't buy the gifts. Their moms do. So even if you get something like a video game, it's not a video game you'd actually want to play. Like, I don't know, something like Froggy and Ruff, Learn About Sharing. I don't want to play that. I'm just glad I'm not on the swim team this summer. Last year I had practice on my birthday, and Mom dropped me off at the pool. As she drove away, she shouted, "Everybody be sure to wish Greg a happy birthday." I got so many birthday noogies that I couldn't even lift my arms to swim. So when it comes to your birthday, I've learned it's best to just keep kids out of the equation. Mom said I could have a family party as long as I promised not to do my usual with the birthday cards. That stinks, because I have a great system for opening cards. I put them all in a neat pile, and then I rip each one open and shake it to get the money out. As long as I don't stop to read anything, I can get through a pile of 20 cards in under a minute. Mom says the way I do it is insulting to the people who got me the cards. She says this time around, I have to read every card and acknowledge the person who gave it to me. That'll slow me down, but I guess it's still worth it. I've been doing a lot of thinking about what I want for my birthday this year. What I really want is a dog. I've been asking for a dog for the past 3 years, but Mom says we have to wait until Manny's completely potty trained before we get one. Well, with the potty training racket Manny's got going on, that could take forever. The thing is, I know that Dad wants a dog too. He used to have one when he was a kid. I figured all Dad needed was a little nudge, and on Christmas last year I saw my chance. My Uncle Joe and his family stopped by our house, and they brought their dog, Killer, with them. I asked Uncle Joe if he wouldn't mind hinting to Dad that he should get us a dog. But the way Uncle Joe did it probably set my dog-getting campaign back by 5 years. All day he kept shouting, "A boy needs a dog, Frank!" and slapping my dad on the back. It got old real fast. The other thing I have no chance of getting for my birthday is a cell phone, and I can thank Roderick for that. Mom and Dad got Roderick a cell phone last year, and he racked up a bill for $300 in the first month. Most of that was from Roderick calling Mom and Dad from his room in the basement to ask them to turn the heat up. So the only thing I'm asking for this year is a deluxe leather recliner. My Uncle Charlie has one, and he practically lives in that thing. The main reason I want my own recliner is because if I had one, I wouldn't have to go up to my room after watching TV late at night. I could just sleep right in the chair. Plus, these recliners have all sorts of features, like a neck massager and adjustable firmness and stuff like that. I figure I could use the vibrate feature to make Dad's lectures a lot more tolerable by turning it up all the way. The only reason I'd ever need to get up is to go to the bathroom. But maybe I should just wait until next year to ask for a recliner, because I bet they'll have that taken care of in the new model, with a toilet built into the seat. Ah. Thursday. I asked Mom to take me back to Bombshell's beauty salon again today, even though I didn't really need a haircut. I just felt like catching up on the town gossip. When I came in, all the ladies said, "Hi, Greg." Annette, my hairstylist, said she heard from a lady who knows Mrs. Jefferson that me and Rowley had a falling out. Apparently, Rowley's heartbroken because I didn't invite him to my birthday party. Well, If Rowley's upset, you wouldn't know it from looking at him. Every time I see Rowley, he's palling around with his dad. So the way it looks to me, he's already got himself a new best friend. I just want to say I think it stinks that Rowley gets to go to the country club even though he still owes money on that fruit smoothie bill. Unfortunately, Rowley's chummy relationship with his dad is starting to affect my life. Mom says the way Rowley and his dad hang out together is neat, and that me and Dad should go fishing or play catch in the front yard or something. But the thing is, me and Dad just aren't cut out for that kind of father-son stuff. The last time Mom tried to get me and Dad to do something like that together, it ended with me having to pull him out of Rappahannock Creek. Mom won't let it go, though. She says she wants to see more affection between Dad and us boys, and that's created some really awkward moments. Like the time she actually made Dad give me and Roderick a hug for crying out loud. Friday. Today I was watching TV, minding my own business, when I heard a knock at the front door. Mom said there was a friend there to see me, so I thought it must be Rowley coming to apologize. But it wasn't Rowley. It was Fregley. After I recovered from my initial shock, I slammed the door shut. I started to panic because I didn't know what Fregley was doing at my front door. After a few minutes went by, I looked out the side window, and Fregley was still standing there. I knew I had to take drastic measures, so I went to the kitchen to call the cops, but Mom stopped me before I could finish dialing 911. Mom said she invited Fregley over. She said I've seemed lonely ever since I had that fight with Rowley, and she thought she'd set up a play date with Fregley. See, this is why I should never tell Mom about my personal business. This Fregley thing was a total disaster. I've heard that a vampire can't come inside your house unless you invite him in, and I'll bet it's the same kind of deal with Fregley. So now I've got two things to worry about: the muddy hand and Fregley. And if I had to choose the one to get me first, I'd take the muddy hand in a heartbeat. As Mom and I watched out the window, as Fregley hid woo-wooing behind a tree, Mom asked me, "Why don't you go outside and play with Fregley?" I said, "Because I think Fregley might be naked." Saturday. Today was my birthday, and I guess things went more or less like I expected. The relatives started showing up around 1 o'clock. I asked Mom to invite as many people as possible so I could maximize my gift potential, and I got a pretty good turnout. I like to cut to the chase on my birthday and get right to the gifts, so I told everyone to gather in the living room. I took my time with the cards, just like Mom asked. It was a little painful, but I got a good haul, so it was worth it. Unfortunately, as soon as I collected my checks, Mom confiscated the money to pay off Mr. Jefferson. Then, I moved on to the wrapped presents. But there weren't a whole lot of those. The first gift from Mom and Dad was small and heavy, which I thought was a good sign. But I was still pretty shocked when I opened it. The box read, "Cellular phone. Perfect for kids and the elderly." When I looked more closely, I found out it wasn't an ordinary cell phone. It was called a Ladybug. The phone didn't have a keypad on it or anything. It only had two buttons, one to call home and one for emergencies. So it's pretty much useless. All my other gifts were clothes and other stuff I didn't really need. I was still hoping I might get that recliner, but once I realized there weren't any places Mom and Dad could be hiding a giant leather chair, I gave up looking. Then Mom told everyone it was time to go into the dining room to have some cake. Unfortunately, Uncle Joe's dog, Killer, had beaten us to it. I was hoping Mom would go out and get me a new cake, but she just took a knife and cut away the parts the dog didn't touch. Mom cut me a big piece, but by that point, I wasn't really in the mood for cake, especially not with Killer throwing up little birthday candles under the table. Sunday. I guess Mom must have felt bad about how my birthday went down, because today she said we could go to the mall and get a makeup gift. Mom took Manny and Roderick along for the ride, and she said they could each pick out something too, which is totally unfair, because it wasn't their birthday yesterday. We walked around the mall for a while and ended up in a pet store. I was hoping we could pool our money to buy a dog, but Roderick seemed to be interested in a different kind of pet, something of the poisonous snake variety. Mom handed us each a $5 bill and told us we could buy whatever we wanted, but $5 doesn't exactly get you very far in a pet store. I finally settled on this really cool angelfish that's all different colors. Roderick picked out a fish, too. I don't know what kind it was, but the reason Roderick chose it was because the label on the tank said the fish was aggressive. Manny spent his $5 on fish food. At first, I thought it was because he wanted to feed the fish that me and Roderick bought, but by the time we got home, Manny had eaten half the canister. Monday. This is the first time I've had my very own pet, and I'm kind of getting into it. I feed my fish 3 times a day, and I keep his bowl really clean. I even bought a journal so I could keep track of everything my fish does during the day. I have to admit, though, I'm starting to have a little trouble filling up the pages. I asked Mom and Dad if we could buy one of those aquariums and get a ton of fish to keep my little guy company. But Dad said that aquariums cost money, and maybe I could ask for one for Christmas. See, this is what stinks about being a kid. You only get 2 shots at getting stuff you want, and that's on Christmas and your birthday. And then when one of those days does come, your parents mess things up and buy you a ladybug. If I had my own money, I could just buy whatever I wanted and not have to embarrass myself every time I needed to rent a video game or buy a piece of candy or something. Anyway, I've always known that I'll eventually be rich and famous, but I'm starting to get a little concerned that it hasn't happened yet. I figured I'd at least have my own reality TV show by now. Last night, I was watching one of those television shows where a nanny lives with a family for a week and then tells them all the ways they're screwing up. Well, I don't know if the woman had to go to some special nanny school or something, but that's the kind of job I was born to do. I just need to figure out how to get myself in line for that job when the nanny retires. I mean, how great would it be to get paid to tell people, your house is a wreck, your kids have no manners, and, hey, Mr. Johnson, you're not going out in that shirt, are you? A few years ago, I started collecting my personal mementos, like book reports and old toys and stuff like that, because when my museum opens, I want to make sure it's packed with interesting things from my life. But I don't keep anything like lollipop sticks that have my saliva on them because, believe me, I do not need to be cloned. There's only going to be one Greg Heffley. When I'm famous, I'm going to have to make some life changes. I'll probably have to fly in private jets, because if I fly on regular planes, I'll get really annoyed when people in the back try to mooch off my first-class bathroom. Another thing famous people have to deal with is that their younger siblings end up getting famous just because they're related. Once I'm on television, it's just a matter of time before there's The Manny Show. My closest brush with fame so far was when Mom signed me up for a modeling job a few years ago. I think her idea was to get pictures of me in clothes catalogs or something like that. But the only thing they used my picture for was this stupid medical book called Your Child in Constipation by Marion Locke, PhD. And I've been trying to live it down ever since. Tuesday. I spent the afternoon playing video games and catching up on the Sunday comics. I turned to the back page, and there was an ad where Lil Cutie usually is. It said, "Wanna be on the funny pages? We're looking for a talented cartoonist to write and draw a one-panel comic to replace Lil Cutie. Can you tickle our funny bone?" Cartoons featuring animals or pets will not be considered. Man, I've been waiting forever for an opportunity like this. I had a comic in my school paper once, but this is a chance to hit the big time. The ad said they weren't accepting any animal comic strips, and I think I know why. There's this comic about a dog called Precious Poochie, and it's been running for about 50 years. The guy who wrote it died a long time ago, but they're still recycling his old comics. I don't know if they're funny or not, because, to be honest with you, Most of them don't even make sense to a person my age. Anyway, the newspaper has tried to get rid of that comic a bunch of times, but whenever they try to cancel it, all the precious Poochie fans come out of the woodwork and make a big stink. I guess people think of this cartoon dog as their own pet or something. The last time they tried to cancel Precious Poochie, 4 busloads of senior citizens from Leisure Towers showed up at the newspaper offices downtown and didn't leave until they got their way. Saturday. Mom was acting extra cheery this morning, and I could tell she had something up her sleeve. At 10 o'clock, she said we all needed to get in the station wagon, and when I asked her where we were going, she said it was a surprise. I noticed Mom had packed sunscreen and bathing suits and stuff in the back of the station wagon, so I thought we must be headed for the beach. But when I asked her if I was right, Mom said the place we were going was better than the beach. Wherever we were going, it was taking a long time to get there, and it wasn't that fun being stuck in the back seat with Roderick and Manny. Manny was sitting in between me and Roderick on the hump. At one point, Roderick decided to tell Manny the hump was the worst seat in the car because it was the smallest and least comfortable. Well, that totally set Manny off. Eventually, Mom and Dad got sick of Manny's crying. Mom said I had to take a turn on the hump because I'm the second youngest and it was only fair. So every time Dad ran over a pothole, my head hit the roof of the car. At about 2 o'clock, I was getting really hungry, so I asked if we could stop for some fast food. Dad wouldn't pull over because he said the people at fast food restaurants are idiots. Well, I know why he thinks that. Every time Dad goes to the fried chicken place over near our house, he tries to place his order through the trash can. I saw a sign for a pizza place, and I begged Mom and Dad to let us eat there. But I guess Mom was trying to save money, because she came prepared. And, of course, there was nothing but what she called healthy snacks. So Roderick and I were bummed. A half hour later, we pulled into a big parking lot, and I knew exactly where we were. We were at the Slip Slide Water Park, where we used to go as kids, and I mean little kids. It's really a place meant for people Manny's age. Mom must have heard me and Roderick groan in the back seat. She said we were going to have a great day as a family, and it would be the highlight of our summer vacation. I have bad memories of the Slip Slide Water Park. One time, Grandpa took me there, and he left me in the water slide area for practically the whole day. He said he was going to go read his book, and he'd meet me there in 3 hours. But I didn't actually go on any slides because of the sign at the entrance. Under 48 must be accompanied by an adult. So, I thought you had to be 48 years old to ride. But it turns out, the 2 little lines next to the number meant inches. So I basically wasted my day waiting for Grandpa to come back and get me, and then we had to leave. Roderick has bad memories of the Slip Slide Water Park, too. Last year, his band got booked to do a show on the music stage they have near the wave pool. Roderick's band asked the park people to set them up with a smoke machine so they could have some special effects for their show. But somebody screwed up, and they set Roderick's band up with a bubble machine instead. I found out the reason Mom took us to the water park today. It was half price for families. Unfortunately, it looked like just about every family in the state was there, too. When we got through the gates, Mom rented a stroller for Manny. I convinced her to spend a little more money and rent a double stroller, because I knew it was going to be a long day and I wanted to conserve my energy. When it comes to walking or riding, I'm not proud. Mom parked the stroller near the wave pool, which was so crowded you could barely even see the water. After we put on our sunscreen and found a place to sit, I felt a few raindrops, and then I heard thunder. Then an announcement came over the loudspeaker.
Due to lightning, the Slip Slide Water Park is now closed. Thank you for coming, and have a nice day.
Everyone hit the exits and got in their cars, but with all the people trying to leave at the exact same time, it was a total traffic jam. Manny tried to entertain everyone by telling jokes. At first, Mom and Dad were encouraging him.
Knock, knock.
Who's there? Your underwear.
Good one, Manny. But after a while, Manny's jokes didn't even make sense.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 named Clive.
We were low on gas, so we had to turn off the air conditioner and wait for the parking lot to clear up. Mom said she had a headache, and she went to the back to lie down. An hour later, traffic finally thinned out, and we got onto the highway. We stopped for gas, and about 45 minutes later, we were home. Dad told me to wake Mom up, but when I looked in the back of the station wagon, Mom wasn't there. For a few minutes, nobody knew where she went. Then we realized the only place she could be was at the gas station. She must have gotten out to use the bathroom when we stopped and nobody noticed. Sure enough, that's where she was. We were glad to see her, but I don't think she was too happy to see us. Oops, was all my dad could muster. Mom didn't really say anything on the ride back. Something tells me she's had her fill of family togetherness for a while. And that's good, because I have too.
This ends Disc 1.